Lazarus. There we go. Now I got it. Okay. This is one of the miracles of Jesus, one of the resurrections Jesus performed in the New Testament. There were three resurrections in the Old Testament, three in the New Testament, and Jesus Christ making the seventh one. Seven resurrections in the Bible. Here in chapter 11, we're going to be looking at a couple of different lessons that we're going to learn from this portion of Scripture. Maybe something you haven't thought about before. There are four lessons we're going to look at. One is waiting on the Lord. One is what only God can do. And the other two is what we are to do. Chapter 11, verse 1. Now, in a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, in the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was the Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair. Therefore his sister sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Verse 4, when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister Lazarus, and when he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days, still in the same place where he was. After that, he said to his disciples, let us go to Judea again. Let's have a word of prayer. Jesus, we just ask, we open up the Scriptures tonight, that you'll guide and direct and let us see what you want us to learn from your holy Scriptures here tonight. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're not going to read all of this. This story goes on for up to verse 46. So I don't think you want to sit here and listen to me read all of that. But it's an excellent story, and there's many, many lessons that we can learn here from this Scripture. Jesus did not answer their request right away. It says he waited 2 days. It was not because Jesus did not care. It was not because Jesus had the like of power. It was not that he did not have the opportunity, or it was not that he didn't have the ability. He had a plan. In verse 4, but the glory of God. They had different plans. Jesus had different plans than what they had. They thought he would. They thought he should. And they figured he was going to heal Lazarus. They wasn't expecting on Lazarus dying. But he waited for 2 days before he left. Now the disciples thought he was waiting and wasn't going because they were going to try and kill Jesus. But that wasn't why he was waiting. He was waiting for a reason. One of the things he was waiting was to teach people to wait upon the Lord. We want God to do something. We ask for God to do something in our life. And then many times we tell him how to do it. God, I've got this problem. This is what you need to do to fix it. Well, God knows what needs to be done better than we do. And sometimes God's plan is not the same plan as ours. And many times God's time schedule or time plan or way of getting things done is not the same as ours. He has a different schedule, a different time, and a different way he wants to get things done. And we need to learn to wait on the Lord. Just because he doesn't answer our prayer right away does not mean he is not listening. Many times people get upset because they don't get answers to their prayers right away. Well, Jesus goes on and tells them, while it's day, you've got to work. There's going to be a time when you can't work. We need to go. In verse 11, these things said he, and after that he said unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he spoke of taking of rest in sleep. Then Jesus said unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. You'll notice in the Bible that when Christians die, it is compared to sleep. Because it's not a threat to us. Look in verse 15. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you may believe, nevertheless, let us go unto him. Remember verse 4, when Jesus heard that he said, this sickness is not unto death, but to the glory of God. Now he died. Jesus knew what he was going to do. Jesus knew that he was going to wait till Lazarus died. He knew he was dead. He knew he was going to go there. And he knew he was going to call him forth from the grave. He knew all of that. God knows what's going to happen. Foreknowledge. But that doesn't always mean he causes it. But here he knew what was going to happen, and he had a plan. And he says, I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there. He wants them to see something. He wants to increase their belief. Verse 16. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Because there's going to be killing, they're looking to kill Jesus. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh to Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Verse 21. Then said Martha to Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? That's a whole nother message right there. But what I want you to see is, over here in verse 3. Therefore his sister said unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Mary and Martha, it kind of appears that they thought they had some special privilege with Jesus. Because he ate at their house. He was at their house. He was one of their friends that he used to go and stay with many times. And because they had such a close relationship, maybe they thought they had a little more privileges or something that the other person did. That's one reason that this other verse is put in here, because he loved them. Verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. That verse is put in there for a reason, because he waited 2 days. People think, well, he doesn't care. Well, that verse was put in there to discount any disbeliefs. Jesus does not love Mary or Martha or Lazarus any more than he loves you. He says he loved the whole world. You need to understand and realize and remember, because you are a child of God, Jesus loves you, and Jesus loves you while you're yet sinners, it says in Romans 5:8. Jesus loves you, and he always will, and there's nothing that you can do that will keep Jesus from loving you. Nothing. He had a plan. And he's implementing that plan right now. Martha says, if you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died. She believed in the power of Jesus. She says, I know whatever you ask, God will give you. She believed in the power of Jesus, but she didn't know what was going to happen. She said, well, I know he's going to rise again. She is totally convinced that Lazarus is gone, that's it, and they're never going to see him again until the rapture. They understood that. They knew about that. He had taught them about that. And they believed. But something you need to realize here is if you believe in me, it says you will never die. There is never a time that a Christian will be separated from Jesus. Oh, this body may quit functioning and we may call it dead, but you never were separated from Jesus. As soon as this old body quits functioning, you're immediately with Christ. There's never a time that you're separated. You don't have to worry about dying. You're going to be with Jesus. Now, I'm not ready to go right now, but I'm not worried about it. Our body doesn't want to hurt. We don't want to have pain and all those kind of things. But we've been by the bedside of many a saint. And God has given them dying grace to go through those times. And they minister and comfort other people during their time. Well, Martha is basically asking why. Why? Many times we ask why. Some questions you will never have the answer to. We don't understand the mind of God. There's some things you will not ever have the answers to. We have the answer here. Well, Martha goes and gets Mary and tells her, and she comes out. And pretty much she says the same thing. Verse 23, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Look at verse 33. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again groaning in himself, coming to the grave. It was a cave and a stone laid upon it. Jesus was groaning in his spirit. Jesus was weeping not because of Lazarus, but because of the unbelief of the people, because the lack of the faith of the people, that Mary and Martha that he'd set at their table and taught them and many, many things. All the people, the Jews around there, and they're giving Jesus a hard time. He opened the eyes of the blind. Can he keep this friend? He can't even keep his own friend alive, is what they were saying. And it causes Jesus to weep and cry over their lack of belief and their lack of faith and their lack of trust in God. Jesus weeps today when we don't put our faith and trust in Him and don't take Him at His word. Just as He did that day, Jesus wept. Jesus had a soft heart for the people that He loved. Now, verse 39. Our first lesson was wait. This is our second lesson. Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldst believe, thou should see the glory of God. Remember verse 4? But for the glory of God, his death, his sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. Just like in verse 4. Over here, he's going to see it. 4 days. He resurrected someone that had just died on their bed. The other time he resurrected a young man that they was carrying out to bury. Maybe just a couple of days. They didn't embalm him and different things like that. They had to bury him right away. This person had already been wrapped, put spices on them, and been put in the tomb and put in there for 4 days. Somebody that has been dead for 4 days is going to smell. No matter how much incense you put on them, without them being embalmed and things, without being put on ice or whatever, they will stink. And there, the death of a person, after they've been there for a long time, is nothing like the death of an animal that rots or anything else. A dead person has a unique smell to them. And it's one you'll never forget. And many times it's hard to get that out of things, that smell. The first thing that you have to do is do what Jesus says. Take away the stone. Even if you don't understand why, even if it doesn't make sense, even if it's against all logic, do what Jesus says. Take away the stone. Belief equals action. Faith equals action. They did not want to do it. They knew what they were going to find there. Verse 40. Said I not unto thee, that if thou wast believed, thou should see the glory of God. They had to believe in Jesus. They had to believe in the words of Jesus. They had to believe what Jesus was saying. They had to trust Jesus. And they had to follow what Jesus said. Take the stone away. If they were not willing to do that, they would not have seen the glory of God. Oh, he could have resurrected him right there. He could have moved that stone himself. But he was waiting for them to put action to their faith. Put feet to their faith. The first thing that you have to do before you can see God is take the stone away. Then in verse 41 is what only God can do. Raise the dead. Only God could raise the dead, but the stone had to be taken away first. You have to put feet to your faith. God can do anything. Matthew 19:26, Jesus said to them, with men this is impossible, with God all things are possible. We mentioned this morning, we believe that God can do anything. When it comes down to what He's going to do, that's when we start having problems. But there's all kinds of stones that people have in their life. That they have a stone, they have a fence, they have a barrier put up, and you've got to roll that stone away before you can see the glory of God move in someone's life. God says, go to your neighbor. Well, I can't talk to my neighbor. It's too hard to talk to him. Roll the stone away. Let God do something. Well, I can't talk to my relatives. I can't witness to them. I can't share anything with them. Well, that's a stone that you put up in your own life. That stone's not from God. If God burdened your heart to do something, then He's going to expect you to do it. And you can do it. And all you got to do is take that step. Roll that stone away. Family problems, roll that stone away. Lost loved ones, roll that stone away. Open up your heart. And let Jesus in. Roll the stone away. And wait for God to move. They had to wait on God for the time. Then they had to follow His instructions and roll the stone away. And then they just stepped back. And let God do His thing. Then they took away the stone in verse 41 from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I know that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I say it. He says, I'm saying this for you. I want you to see the glory of God, that thou mayest believe that thou hast sent, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus, come forth. Only God can raise the dead. Only God can touch souls. Only God can put families back together. Only God can turn things around. But you got to roll the stone away so he can get in and work in your life. Verse 44. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said to him, loose him, let him go. Jesus said, he called him by name. And that which was dead came forth. Now, I don't know how he got out of there, how he waddled out of there, or what. Because most of the time they wrapped their legs together when they bound them up. Or sometimes they just put a sheet around them and kind of put them in there and folded them in like this. Sometimes they wrapped them. I don't know how they did it. They did it different ways and different times. But he come waddling out of there. He was not completely set free. He was resurrected from the grave. The dead had been brought back to life. But then he said, loose him. Loose him. You see, you wait, and then you roll the stone away, step back and let God work, and then you come back in. Jesus could have had them grave clothes just fall off of him right there. I wonder who was the first person that had the courage to walk up to Lazarus, grab a hold of those old grave clothes and start taking them off. I wonder who the first person was that did that. I wonder who had the courage to go up there and touch what used to be dead that was now alive. Well, that took some faith. That took some courage to go up there and touch him. It's going to be a little scary, I would think. When a person gets saved, they're not immediately 100% sanctified, holy Christian. I doubt very seriously if Lazarus kept those grave clothes and hung them on the wall, I doubt if he kept those. I doubt if he put them on every night when he went to bed. When he got rid of that, he got rid of that, and he never went back to it. Well, many Christians are still trying to hang on to those old grave clothes, those old ways, those old things of death. They don't want to let go of them. They're hanging on to them. Get rid of that junk. Get rid of that stuff. Get out of your life. Quit hanging on to what's past and look forward to what's new. And how you do that is the other Christians come around and they disciple you and let him free. Loose him. Teach him. Train him. Hey, this is what God says in the Bible about music. This is what God says in the Bible about marriage. This is what God says in the Bible about your money. This is what God says in the Bible about your family. This is what God says about your salvation. This is what God says about heaven. This is what God says how to live. This is what God says how to share the gospel. You disciple them. You teach them. You train them and strengthen them. As they get rid of that old junk and get rid of those old clothes, it amazes me. The youth want to be different, but then they want to look like everybody else. Is the music you listen to Is it okay with Jesus? You need to look like you're alive. I bet Lazarus had a smile on his face that he never had before. Because God touched his life. Oh, he was a believer before this. I mean, this isn't about his salvation, but it's a good example of salvation. The miracles teach salvation through the Bible. Look like you're alive. Look like you're a child of the King. Look like you belong to Jesus. Be proud of who you are. The music you listen to, is it worthy of the King of Glory? Does what come out of your mouth praise Jesus? There's some other times in the Bible it talks about they tried to kill Lazarus because Jesus had resurrected him and he was famous and they wanted to kill him and get rid of that testimony. In verse 45 of John chapter 11, then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. See the glory of God. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. How can, I don't understand, how can someone see a miracle like this and walk away not a believer in the power of Jesus? I don't understand that. I will never understand that. Sometimes I've seen people get under the preaching of the Word of God and it convicts them, it touches their soul and burdens their hearts, but they'll just walk out. I've seen people hang onto the pew in front of them and shake. And cold sweats come on them. And be stubborn. And not let God move them. And they went to the Pharisees to complain. Tell him what he did. Jesus was the greatest preacher, the greatest person for witnessing that ever walked this earth. But everybody he spoke to didn't get saved. Because you have a free will. And that free will lock the door and keep the old gravestone over the tomb of your dead life. Don't want to roll back that stone. Don't want to let the light of Jesus shine in your soul. You're going to hang on to that old dead way and not let Jesus come in. Jesus wants to roll that stone away in your life and bring something into your life that you can know, that you can see, that'll be real for you. When someone gets saved, that's just the beginning of a new life. And they have to be nurtured and taught and strengthened. I was thinking about something as I was studying this. The longer the wait, the bigger the glory. I've seen some things. And you just don't understand. It seems like it takes forever for God to do something, for God to move in. But when it gets to that point, people realize that there is no other options, there is no other way, there is nothing else except God. Then God moves. And when it's been a long wait, the glory is so much better.
When we went on vacation, you know, we had our trip and everything. The expectation, you know, we bought the tickets long time ago. Got a good deal. But when it got time to go, the anxious, the anxiety, the wanting to go. Get up early, ready to go. Coming back in the hotel room in St. Louis, waiting for the plane. Couldn't sleep. Couldn't sleep. Was ready to get home. The anxiety. Remember as a child, you used to count the days on the calendar to your birthday or to Christmas or something? The anxiety of all of that, just the anticipation, the waiting, the waiting, the waiting. You got to wait, you got to wait, you got to wait. Now, some families open up their stuff on Christmas Eve. Some wait till Christmas morning. Well, why can't we do it now? You know, they want to wait. They don't want to wait. They want to go. They want to go. Our grandson does not have a concept too much of time yet. The girls are getting there, but the boy, he doesn't. He doesn't have the concept of time. When he wants to do something, he wants to do it right now. Right now. He doesn't think about, well, we've got to go across, you know, well, I just want to go home with you. Well, it takes all this time. We've got to get there. Well, he doesn't think about time or distance or anything. He just wants to go and wants to be there. Gets impatient, waiting. But the longer the wait, the greater the joy. When you get there, the longer the waiting for the blessings of God, the bigger the blessing will be when it comes. Because there is no other options, no other ways, except only God. And that's when He likes to work, because He receives all of the glory for what He's done. He answered their prayer when it was time. He answers every prayer. Sometimes it's yes. Sometimes it's no. Sometimes it's later. But He answers every prayer. Let's stand to our feet and have a time of invitation as God works in our lives. Go move some stones. Go set someone free. Expose them to the light. Dear Jesus, we just ask that You'll take this time, that You'll take these words, that You'll take this message, and that You'll apply them to our lives each and every day. And as we leave here and face tomorrow, that You'll let us look for the stones to roll away. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.